much. Took your place in the nursery, tell them I said thanks. Amen. What a blessing. Take your Bible tonight to Acts chapter number 6. Probably won't preach but about 10 good minutes. Maybe. Acts chapter number 6. No, I'm serious. I'm still feeling under the weather and had a hard time getting through my Bible class this afternoon, so I'm gonna do what I feel like the Lord is having me do tonight. And if I feel like He wants me to preach 45 minutes, I will. But if it's 10 minutes, that'll be all right, as long as we get the message. Amen? In Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "And in those days..." Now let's just stop and see what those days were. When the Bible said in those days, we need to stop and say, okay, what days was that? What days are they talking about? The Bible said when the number of the disciples was multiplied. We know we are in the beginning of the early church. This thing is just getting off the ground in a very, very, very short time. Literally thousands of people have gotten saved. Thousands. We've just come through the day of Pentecost when them cloven tongues of fire set down on them boys' heads. And old Peter preached, 3,000 got saved right there. No telling how many more. And the Bible had already said the Lord was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. So I would say there is revival going on, wouldn't you? Come on, y'all, talk to me a little bit tonight. I told you parents, teach them kids to holler amen while I'm preaching. I would say revival was going on, wouldn't you? I thought about it over these past few weeks, just what we've seen in these past days. I believe we're seeing a little bit of revival. We were over at Brother Strickland's Tuesday, Brother Freddie and Brother Sanchez and I, and they had a question and answer session, and one of the fellas asked Brother Jack Scott, did he think we would ever see revival like they did in the old days? And he gave a unique answer. He said, "I'll be honest with you, brother, I don't know what you mean by revival." He said, "But I think we're seeing revival right now." He said, 100 years from now, he said, "I think they'll be writing about us and how God moved." That's one way to look at it. We're seeing revival. So what do you mean? 17 people got saved here last Sunday. I mean, that ain't nothing to scoff at. Amen. I think these people were seeing, this was just a great thing. It was awesome. I believe there was some shouting going on. It was a good time to be in church. Amen. So those days were the days of the early church when God was greatly moving among the people. And now watch this. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then we go on down through here, you'll find this is where they appoint the deacons to serve. But I just thought it was interesting how when God is blessing in such a great way, when so many miraculous things are taking place, somebody's complaining. Can you believe that? Somebody's complaining. I mean, God is doing great and mighty things. People are getting saved. He said every day. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I mean, man, these people should be wow. But instead, they're worried about somebody not giving them the attention they felt like they deserved. Amen. I'm going to talk to you just for a few minutes tonight on what we do when Satan attacks. And by the way, as a church, we might as well be ready for it. Yeah. Amen. It's not a question if he attacks, it's when and how bad. If you think the devil likes what's going on here, you got another thing coming. Come on, y'all, talk to me. You got another thing coming. I mean, last Sunday, I pulled in the parking lot, and Brother Warren was out there wringing his hands, and Brother Robbie, and everything was just bedlam. Teachers weren't where they were supposed to be. The kids were running wild. Wasn't nobody watching them in the gym, and it was just a mess. And Brother Warren said, "Pray, brother. It's a madhouse this morning." I thought, something to happen. I've just learned over the years that when the devil really starts to meddling and messing around, God's thing to do something. He's just trying to hinder the work. Amen. What do we do when Satan attacks? Let me give you a few pointers that'd do well for you to remember. He might use you to do it. Let me say that again. He just may use you to do it. To do what? To attack this church. To attack this ministry. It's never an unseen spirit that splits a church. It's always the people in it. Never do we face attack from without. It's always within. If the devil gets in this church and works and starts to destroy and tear down, he's going to do it through me and you. And we need to understand that, and that's what's going on here. Some of these people that have just got saved, boy, God's doing something great in their life, and they're already looking for problems and complaining. Amen. Have we got problems? By the boatload. Have we got faults? By the shipload. But I ain't hunting them. Come on, y'all, talk to me. I'm not looking for them. If you spend 5 minutes of your time trying to figure out what's wrong with this ministry, you've wasted 5 good minutes. And I say that again. If you spend 5 minutes trying to figure out, well, why was Brother Todd late? That ain't none of your business. You're wasting your time. Quit looking for wrong. There's too much right to see around here. Well, I can't believe she'd wear that to church. Man, we know where your heart is. When the devil attacks this church, he's going to do it through us. You're a candidate. Remember one time Brother Charles called Brother Randy and asked him a doctrinal question. Because it was taught in Sunday school and somebody disagreed. Matter of fact, they got mad and left church open. A Sunday school teacher said that it was possible for a Christian to be demon possessed. And boy, some folks got hot. And Brother Charles said, Brother Eddie, I really don't know what to do about this question. He said, I've always been told that a Christian could be oppressed but not obsessed. I said, why don't we call the guru on demon possession? I said, call Brother Randy and see what he said. You know, he's a missionary in Africa for 15 years. He called Brother Randy, and you know, y'all know how Brother Randy is. He don't pull no punches. Brother Charles said, Brother Randy, I have a question for you. And just a little controversy arose, and somebody said that it was possible for a demon or for a Christian to be possessed with a demon. He said, Brother Randy, is that right? He said, well, Charles, your church is full of them. Y'all all right? Don't y'all remember in the 70s and the 60s, old Flip Wilson? He'd be old Geraldine and say, the devil made me do it. Swallow hard, it'll go down. I don't even care if you don't agree with me. I really don't. I'm not going to split hairs over it. But I believe he can. I've been full of the devil enough times myself to know. Amen. Hey, brother, when that old foul spirit comes on you, that ain't Jesus. Amen. When that gossiping tongue flaps in your mouth, that ain't Jesus. Amen. When that knife you stab in the back of a brother, it gets sunk in all the way to the handle, that ain't Jesus. Amen. Amen. Jesus looked Simon Peter, the guy who just preached on Pentecost and saw 3,000 saved. He looked him dead in the face and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. The devil can get hold of you so fast, it'll make your head spin. Amen. Amen. Now, let's suffice it to say, and I'm not being critical, but the devil doesn't attack every church. The devil doesn't attack every church. Somebody said, I want to go to a church where the devil just doesn't attack and attack and attack. Not me. They, some of them churches, why doesn't he attack them, preacher? They're not a threat. They're not a threat. Why would the devil attack a church that's preaching a false gospel and ain't going to get nobody saved anyway? I doubt the devil ever attacks the Jehovah's Witness, the Kingdom Hall. I bet they've never had an attack of Satan. Why? They ain't hurting him. I doubt the devil has ever had an all-out demonic attack on the Mormon church. Why? Because they don't know Jesus no how. Did y'all see that crazy preacher on television? You know the one down there in Houston. Everybody gets mad every time I say his name, so you know the one in the basketball stadium. They interviewed this guy on CNN about the presidential deal. This was when Mitt Romney was still in the race for the Republican candidate or whatever you want to call it. And they asked him, they said, do you think, even though he's a Mormon, that Mitt Romney's a good Christian? And he said, quote, oh yes, I think he's a fine Christian. He said, what do you base that on? Well, he believes in Jesus Christ. He said, anybody who believes in Jesus Christ is a good Christian. The devil believes in Jesus Christ, friend. Yeah, the Mormon believe in Jesus Christ. They believe he's Lucifer's brother. What I'm saying is the devil is not interested in attacking every church. But I'll tell you the kind of church he's after. He's after one like this. He's after your pastor. You can mark that down, boy. He's after all the other preachers in this church. He's after us. He's after your homes. He's attacking some of your marriages right now. Why? Because you're about to do something great for God. And if he can tear your home apart, he can tear your ministry apart. He's after you, some of you, through your pocketbook and your finances. Amen. If he can get you broke and bitter, you ain't going to serve the Lord. Amen. I tell you the kind of church he attacks. Look at verse number 4. Acts chapter number 6. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They're coming to the preachers and they're complaining. They said, all right, I'll tell you what, pick you out 7 men, honest, good report and all that, and we'll put them over this business. What business? Feeding widows. Not running the church. He said, but we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I'll tell you the kind of church the devil attacks is a praying church. Somebody once said the church is most powerful when it's on its knees. The devil's after a praying church. Hey, he don't care if we miss prayer meeting. He wouldn't care if we skip this altar prayer altogether on Wednesday night. Why? Because you have not, because you ask not. If a church ain't praying, it ain't going nowhere. Oh, it may grow in numbers and it may put on a rock concert and all that, but it ain't going to do nothing for God. If it's not praying, hey man, the most simplest things we have to do is to pray and to minister this book right here. And if we'll do that, that's a guaranteed we'll always have a fight on our hands. Amen. I like a good fight, don't you? It'd get kind of dull around here if there's never no spiritual opposition. There's one boy who used to come here occasionally, full of demons. Literally. That boy was as demon-possessed as anybody I've ever met in my life. And when he would walk in and sit down, and I was sitting on this platform, brother, it was like a magnet, his face drawn to mine, and he just sat there and looked at me. Never blinked, never twitched. And buddy, it was just almost like if you'd cut the lights off, this place would have been lit up with laser, son. It was just, it was a battle. I had Brother Warren pray for that several times. Hey, he's here, pray.
Boy, you talk about God moving in a service, boy. Woo! I like a little opposition. And we're going to get a little opposition. Somebody gave me one of those little printout things one time, you know, that you get on email or whatever. And here's what it said. Remember, as long as they're kicking your tail, you must still be out in front. Amen. I expect opposition, but listen to me carefully. I don't want it from you. Amen. I expect the devil to fight. I expect there's the directions to a big oak. I expect the devil to stick his head up every time he gets a chance. Hey, but let's keep it in the sound system, in the baptistry heater. Let's keep it in the light fixtures tearing up. And let's keep that opposition and all these physical things around here. But let's keep it out of you and I. And let's work to stay on the same page and fighting for the same cause and going in the same direction. Amen. He'll fight a praying church. Verse number 7. The Bible said, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests, the priests, were obedient to the faith. The devil attacks a praying church, and he attacks a witnessing church. We just Saturday before last, we handed out about 5,000 gospel tracts in one day. Right here in this town, at the parade. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Our guys, did y'all go out on the street this afternoon?
From the bus.
Okay, amen, brother. From the bus. Hallelujah. Hey, man, the devil don't like that. He's going to attack a church that's out witnessing and telling people about Jesus. Amen? So here's what I'm telling you. We are under attack. There's attacks going on right now that you don't even know about.
Yeah.
I know about some of them. When he's attacking your home and your life, he's attacking my church. When he's beating you up, he's beating up my brother and my sister. And I don't like it a bit, amen? I need you too bad in this ministry. I need you in your place. I need you doing what God called you to do and made you to do, like them nails we talked about this morning. I need you to be there. I need you to be there. I need you to be there. Let's not give that sucker an inch.
Amen.
Amen. This is the kind of church he attacks. How he attacks. Verse number 1. This is where it always starts in the church. There arose a murmuring among the Grecians. That's where it starts. Trouble in the church starts. Always. It's never somebody bringing a problem to the pastor. Now, won't you stay with me? How many of y'all want the devil to stay out of here?
Yeah.
All right, you listen to me real good. When there's a problem with something, you don't go and sit down with Brother Jerry Clausen. You know what you're doing? You're just multiplying the problem. Now you've made it no longer something you've got a problem with, but now you've caused him to have a problem with it. He's going to go home and tell his wife, and I guarantee you she's going to have a problem with it. Amen. Are y'all getting the picture? Hey, are there going to be things you're going to have trouble with you don't like? Yeah, these people. If you want to go to a church where there are no disagreements, go to a church that only you go to. You do the singing. You do the praying. You do the preaching. Just put a mirror out there and preach to yourself. It's like that guy who was stranded on a desert island for years and years, and finally one day he was rescued. What? Nobody on the whole island but himself. And I forgot there was three huts. And they asked him, said, sir, what are these three huts? He said, oh, that's that first hut right there. It's my house. They said, well, what's that second hut? He said, that's my church. He said, well, what's that third hut? He said, that's where I used to go. Amen. I run myself off. Amen. That's a miserable way to be. Amen. Stop murmuring. Listen, that don't mean I want you to come to me either with every little nitpicking thing. There's a department head over the ministry where you work. If it's really a problem, tell them. And if they think it's big enough, they'll bring it to me. But stop murmuring. Stop murmuring. What's murmuring? Complaining. Listen, if you complain about something in this ministry to another member of this church, other than the person who's over that area, you've just sinned. You have just allowed the devil to use you. I'm going to sit through and audit the Bible classes. And I may find something wrong with something one of these guys teaching. I don't think I will. But if I did, I'm not going to go tell Brother Ryan, you know what that guy's teaching ain't right. Because you know what I've done? Over one statement I disagreed with, I have discredited his trust in his teacher.
Yeah, that's right. Yes,
sir. I'm going to go to that teacher and say, hey,
amen.
I understand you may believe a little bit different, but here's where I believe, and we're going to stay on the same page.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Are we okay? Nine times out of ten, that one thing that happened or that one thing that was said or that one thing that was done that hurt my feelings or I don't like, it'll be well forgotten a long time from now. But if I blow that thing up and I spread that around and it sows discord and all through this church, it'll never be forgotten. Amen. Murmuring. Sowing seeds of discontent and discord. Criticism. Jealousy. You know the best thing you can do? Just keep your mouth shut. I mean, oh, them old timers, my grandmother used to say, if you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all. That's simple, but man, that's the truth. Old brother Earl Hughes, he's what, 80 years old now. We were together in a meeting last year and a bunch of preachers sitting around the table. Sure enough, they started crucifying another preacher. Brother Earl finally raised his head from his meal and he said, hey boys, y'all just pray for him. He's a good man. Man, and it put conviction on every one of them guys. You could see, they shut up. They knew what they were doing was wrong. They wasn't helping that guy who had made a mistake in the ministry. They was beating him down further. Old Brother Earl said, hey boys, y'all pray for him. He's a good man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so-and-so, pray for him.
Amen.
Won't you pray for him? I guarantee you, if you're praying for him, you ain't running your mouth about him.
Amen.
You say it again. If you've really got a burden and there's really something you don't like and there's something you'd like to see God change, you are not praying about it or you wouldn't be running your mouth.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. I promise you, if you're complaining to somebody else in this church, you have not prayed about the situation. Not in earnest.
Yes. Amen.
How do you know, preacher? Because you don't care.
Amen.
Wow, we okay tonight?
Yes,
you would rather enlarge it and blow it up and make it bigger than it already is than to see it fixed. That's the devil.
Amen, God.
And that's the devil using me. Has the devil ever used you and you knew it when he was doing it?
Yeah.
Come on, talk to me. Has the devil ever used you and you knew he was using you when he's doing it? Don't that burn you up? Amen. That's how he attacks our church. In verse number 4, they said, we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Listen, they came to these guys and were complaining about somebody being neglected of a meal. Being cared for. Listen, the devil attacks us by causing us to get more interested and caught up in secondary things. The devil can destroy a church that way. I watched a great preacher and a great ministry go down the toilet because they got caught up in issues. First of all was homosexuality, and second was the government. And during that span of years, when that's all you heard and all you heard and all you heard and all you heard, I mean, they went from straight, fundamental, Bible-believing to as liberal as a day is long. Why? They got sidetracked on secondary issues. Somebody said, "Preacher, you believe abortion's a sin?" Yes, I do, but I'm not going to spend all my time on it. Why? It's a secondary issue. I'm going to stay with the number one, the primary issue, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's not get sidetracked on secondary issues. He said, "Well, isn't caring for people, isn't that a big issue?" Yeah, but it's secondary. Hang on to your hat. Coming to see you in the hospital is a good thing to do, but it's a secondary issue. When I can and somebody's in the hospital, I go. If somebody's having surgery, I do my best. If I don't, Brother Freddie will go or something. But that's secondary compared to what we're doing right here.
Amen.
Let's keep the main thing, the main thing.
Yeah.
The devil will distract us. I've watched churches get totally distracted from serving God and preaching and soul winning because they were going through a building program. It's evident that the most money in the church is there on Sunday morning. And these preachers would get out of the habit of preaching just the gospel on Sunday morning to preaching on money and raising money and building. You get sidetracked into something for a while, you're liable to stay in it.
Yeah.
And I tell you, when we get away from preaching the gospel in this church, we're going the wrong direction. That's how the devil tears them down. I know good churches, I mean great, great, great churches that used to be great churches ain't great churches anymore. What happened? Somebody got them hooked up on secondary issues. The church down the road that calls us a cult, that's what they say, we're a cult. They used to be just like this. I went to great revival meetings there. Charles Williams pastored it one time. What happened? They got sidetracked. As long as I got breath in my body, we're not going to get sidetracked on secondary issues. We're not going to worry more about whether or not you're entertained on Sunday morning than worrying about whether or not you get the book preached to you. It's like the guy who came here one time helping us with the building design. We were looking at maybe building a building. He wanted to know what kind of ministry we had. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Do you have a drama ministry?" I said, "Yeah, I'm it."
Yeah.
He said, "Well, you know, some churches focus on, you know, the stage. They got to have all the lighting and the, you know." I said, "Come on, man." I said, "We preach." He said, "Okay." He knew exactly what I was talking about. This place right here is going to be the main thing. It'll be a cold day in the booger man's living room when I move this pulpit away from here and all we do is have singing on a Sunday morning. I ain't talking about it and occasionally getting on and people are in the altar the whole service. I don't have a problem with that. But I don't want that every service. Why? We got to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen? Well, verse number 9. I'm almost done. The devil attacks the church by sowing discord. He attacks the church by causing the people to get occupied with secondary things. In verse number 9, the Bible said, "Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and them of," I can't even say that, "Galicia," is that right? "And of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people,
and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witness against him. Y'all know what that is, false witness? It's just a lie about somebody. You understand that? It's just a lie about somebody. And set up false witness, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law." The devil will attack the church by engineering opposition to God's men and the gospel. He's tried to do it here over and over and over and over again. It's amazing some of the stories that people get told about our church. I've been here 15 years and know nothing about. It's people trying to stir something up. I had a fella call me a while back about a family who left our church. And he was sincere as he knew how to be. He said, "Brother Eddie, he said, I'm not being nosy." He said, "If there's something going on, I don't even want to know." He said, "I just want to make you aware that this family said they left because you were caught up in something." I said, "Brother, that's a lie. That's just a lie." He said, "Well, I just thought you ought to know." That's how the devil attacks a church. The devil may come and send somebody by that Brother Greg don't even know and say, "Ain't your preacher having an affair? Or ain't your preacher doing this? Or ain't your preacher doing that?" Most foolish thing in the world he could do is believe that. If the preacher was doing that, I believe God could handle it. Yeah. Amen. And I'm not, by the way. I'm just giving you an illustration. I'm too scared of that green-eyed woman back in the nursery. She can whoop me. Oh, I know. But don't believe that stuff. That's just the devil attacking the church. Sometimes in cases it's true, but it still don't need to be repeated. It still does more harm than good. "Did you hear so-and-so run off?" "No, I'm sick of hearing that stuff." Yeah. But the devil will do all kind of stuff to create opposition against God's men. Amen. I promise you, if you'll listen around a little bit, somebody will have something to tell you about me. They'll have something to tell you about Brother Freddie. I guarantee you. You know what he's trying to do? Stir up opposition against the leadership of this church. That's how he works. Amen? We need not to be ignorant of his devices. We need to be able to spot that sucker a mile away and say, I know that. There's been people that's come to this church and I've prayed, "God, don't let them stay. Please, please, please send them somewhere else. I don't want them in here." "Oh, you think you're better than them?" "No, they're troublemakers and I know it." Amen. I had one fella told me he had just joined the church. We were standing outside the church talking over in the old building. He said, "Preacher, I just thought you ought to know, I like to rock the boat." I said, "Get out of my boat, man." Amen. We got enough opposition without somebody trying to invent some. Amen? Amen? How can we avoid all this? Let's show the devil the door. Let's make no room for him. The Bible said not to give place to the devil. Let's don't give him a place to work. Don't give him a place in your heart. Don't give him a place in your thoughts. Tell him to hit the road. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's scriptural, man. Tell him, "Get out of here. You're not welcome. We love each other. We don't want to fuss. We don't want to fight. We want our marriage to work. We want our children to grow up right. Go home, smutty face." We ought to put us a sign over the door. "Demons not allowed. Go to Fullerville." No, I'm kidding. Let's tell the devil to hit the road. I'm kidding about Fullerville. I love them. I got some places I could recommend, though. Let's show him the door. Let him know he's not welcome. When he slides up in the pew next to you, don't entertain him.
I said again, when he slides up in the pew with you, or he may not do it in the pew. He may call y'all. Psst, can I talk to you for a minute? No. No. Don't entertain him. Don't give him a place. He said, I don't believe all that stuff I hear. Well, you sure won't believe it if you don't hear it.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Let's not give him a place to sow a seed. It won't grow if it ain't sown. Amen?
Amen.
Let's make him unwelcome and let's make the Holy Spirit welcome.
That's right.
Let's don't do anything to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in this church. Let's obey the Lord and let's pray, 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 pray. I wonder how many of you pray every day for God to keep the devil off his place. Keep the mischief out.
Amen.
I hope you do. I hope you do. I hope you pray for your preacher. I got a big bullseye on my back, son. I guarantee you. He'd love to take me out. He'd love to take you out. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Todd, would you come? Listen to me. Couples, husbands and wives, the way God's moving and the way God's blessing in this work, you might ought to set up a double-fisted guard over your home. Hear me well. I'm talking about sure enough, draw a line at the door and say, you ain't coming in here.
Yeah.
God's been too good to us to let the devil tear this thing down now. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Roll up your sleeves and say, not this one, bud. Not this one. You're not getting this one. Put your arms around them babies and say, no, sir, Mr. Devil. Not this one. He's going to attack. The difference is going to be whether or not we're ready when he does. God dealing with your heart tonight. Brother Todd, if you'd just sing us a verse, if you would. God dealing with your heart. You come. There's others already praying. Husbands and wives.